Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage, for this teaching on love. We pray that you would give us wisdom as we reflect upon these words over the next few moments, that you would speak clearly to us by the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have gotten to know someone, you've met someone, you will likely have some idea of who you think that they are. Now, you might be correct, you might be incorrect, but you at least have some idea. We all give off a first impression, and so we have some thoughts about what that person is like. I want you to imagine a group of people just standing around talking, and all of a sudden your name is mentioned just randomly. What are the kind of comments that might come after that? What would they say? How would people describe who you are like and what you are about? I asked that question for myself. I wonder what people would say about me. And I really can't know. They might say something about me really enjoying books. They might say something about my jokes, whether they thought they were funny or not. And there's quite a bit of debate within my own household as to the answer to that question. They might say that I have amazing hair, which is quite likely to say that. So there's all kinds of things that people might say about who I am. So we can reflect upon these questions, but there are two more important questions that we have to ask. And that is, who do people think that God is, and what do people think the church is? Those are important questions for us to be asking. So what do people think God is like? Well, the fact is, most people do believe that there is a God. That there's actually only about 12% of people who claim to be avid atheists. Now, if you add agnostics in there, that number goes up a little bit, but by far the majority of people believe in God. Even in the most secular of countries, people believe in God. And yet, when you begin to talk to those people, there are going to be all kinds of differences as to what they think God is like. Is God one or is God many? Is God personal or impersonal? Is God a part of his creation or separate from his creation? Does God interact with people or is God completely separate and not interested? These are some of the questions that people have and some of the differences that we have as we talk with different people about what God is like. We need to know the truth. If there is a God out there, we need to know what God is like. And John explains to us what God is like. He says that God is love. Not just that God is loving. We knew that. There's nothing surprising about that. Just about every religion would say that God loves at certain points. But John is saying more than that. He's saying that God is love in his essence. He is love. So what does that tell us about God? Well, it helps support our idea of the Trinity, that long before humanity was created, there was eternal love between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We know that God must be personal because a force like electricity or gravity cannot love. It has to be personal. So God is a personal being, a personal God. We also know that God is separate from his creation. He loves his creation. Creation is important, but he is not a part of creation. He is separate because creation is an object of his love. We know that God interacts with his creation. He doesn't just observe. He interacts with us and responds to us in different ways. He shows love to us, not just by having a feeling or emotion, but by action. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God shows love by action. So that is what John says that God is like. God is love. But Do people get it? Does the average person, either inside or outside of the church, understand that God is love? What is it that they think God is like? And unfortunately, this message has been disrupted and garbled because of various reasons. For some people, it's because of their experience with their human father, or it might be their parents in general, that has caused some kind of confusion as to what God is like. Maybe they had a father who was absent, or a father who was abusive. And because of that, they really struggle with the idea of God as a father. And I can see how people would struggle in that way. And that is a real thing that people have to work through. The truth is that God is the perfect parent, and that we should be using God as the measure rather than human beings. But on an emotional level, we just have to realize that that is something that some people are struggling with, and we need to walk with them and pray with them and have compassion during that time. Another way that the message of God is love has become garbled, unfortunately, is through the church. Sometimes the church has preached a message of God that is far from God is love. I've heard some preachers who just sound angry all the time. You would never get the impression that God was love when you heard the way they talk, because they seem angry all the time. I don't know where they find good news when they're angry. This message has come about in various ways. Sometimes people have preached a God who is an angry judge who's just waiting to smash one of us if we just step out of line in the slightest way. And people have grown up with that message. And we have to realize that that's a part of people's background and the baggage that they have. But the fact is, what Scripture tells us is that God is love. And we need, as a church, to help people to see what the truth is. We need to, first of all, repent of any way that we have messed up that message. But we need to help people to get through what it is, what God is really like, so that they can see that. Another way that mistakes have been made is sometimes love has been redefined. Sometimes people, when they hear that God is love, they accept that. But they see love as being this really fluffy kind of thing that really doesn't much matter. That God doesn't really have any opinions about how we live. He doesn't care about righteousness or justice or care for the planet or anything like that. He just looks at us like a kindly old grandpa who just loves us and just really could, that doesn't really care what we do or don't do. That's not the message of love of the Bible either. In fact, John makes it very clear that truth is closely connected with the concept of love. If we understand what it means for God to be love, we have to understand his truth of who he is, of what he values, and what he expects for us. God is love. Now, we can say that, and we'll say that God always is love. He never messes up on that. We might mess up in our understanding of it, but on his part, God never veers from that identity as being love. But what about the church? God might not change, but we change, and sometimes we make mistakes. Now, as I talk about the church here, I'm going to be talking about the Big C Church. I'm not talking specifically about Queen Street Baptist Church, but we can get to that. Right now, I want to talk about the church in general. And we have to ask, how do people see the church? Last week, we looked at the story of Stephen from the book of Acts and saw that there was three ways that critics can respond to followers of Jesus. In their criticism, they can be completely inaccurate, completely mistaken in what they say about us. They could be completely accurate. They could be saying exactly what the problem is with us. or it could be a mixture of both. So those three things are still a principle for us. And there are times that the world outside has looked at the church and has not seen us as a loving community. And there is a mixture of truth and falsehood. First of all, there are times that we do make mistakes, and I'm going to be talking about that. But they also focus on the mistakes we make and not the good things that we do. And so there's a mixture of that falsehood and that truth. John makes it very clear here that we are to be a community of love. And this makes sense. If God is love, and if the church is understood to be the sons and daughters of God, that we are part of the family of God, then there should be some kind of family resemblance. In fact, that theme is found throughout the New Testament, but especially in the Gospel of John and John's letters, he really is interested in this idea of God's children being like him in some way. And so if God is love, it would make sense that we would be a loving community as well. And John is very clear here. In fact, he's almost harsh in the way he speaks. He says, if you don't love, you don't know God. You are not really in relationship with God if you don't show love, if you aren't a loving person, or if you are not building a loving community. And that's pretty harsh. But that is really the way things are. And the Apostle Paul said something similar in 1 Corinthians 13. This is the famous love chapter. And we love to read it from from verse 4, where he goes on about love is patient, love is kind, and all of those things. It's such a beautiful thing for us to read at weddings. But I want to look at the first three verses here. And Paul has some pretty strong things to say. He says this, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, they can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge. And if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. It's all about love. The church is supposed to be about love. And so we have to ask, how are we doing? How is the Big C Church doing? Do people look at the church and say, that is a place of love? I'm going to make a confession to you, and that is, there are times when I struggle in my faith. Now, you might be thinking, wait a minute, you can't be doing that. You're the pastor. The pastor doesn't struggle. Well, I'm not saying that I struggle with whether or not God exists. I'm not saying that I struggle of whether or not God or Jesus rose from the dead. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when I look at some of the things that Christians say, I sometimes ask myself, do I really want to be identified with that? I spend a little bit too much time on social media, and I shouldn't, because it's not good for my faith. And Amanda will tell you that there are times I'm like, why am I doing this? Why am I looking at this? The harsh things, the disrespectful things, the hateful things that Christians say, not just in general, but say about each other, the way Christians speak towards other Christians. I can give you just a couple of examples, not specific examples, but more topics around the recent American election. As I looked at social media comments by people on both sides, Christians on both sides would speak about those on the other side and would basically say that they must not be Christians because they disagree with them on certain issues and that they are stupid. And it was just very disgusting, the comments that people would say. The same thing has happened with COVID-19 and the pandemic. Different views and interpretations and attitudes about how we should respond, and people respond in hateful ways. And I look at that and I'm thinking, what is this? What is this, the way the church is supposed to be responding? Do these people realize that non-Christians are reading these same comments and they're seeing how hateful Christians are at? Even the most biblically illiterate person is going to realize that probably Christians are supposed to love one another. And when we don't show that love for one another, then there is a big problem. The way things are supposed to be is that we are supposed to be a community of faith. And it begins within the community of believers. Now, I firmly believe in the importance of outreach. I believe in evangelism. I believe in feeding the poor and reaching out to our community. All of those things are extremely important. But the New Testament actually makes it clear that we begin with the community of faith. We have to build a community of love where we don't just feel love towards one another, but we act in love towards one another. The example that I thought of was, imagine having your family living in a certain community, and you've decided that you're going to reach out to your community, to your neighbors, you're going to drop off casseroles, you're going to cut their lawn, you're going to take people out for coffee, you do all of these things. Meanwhile, the family that's living in your house is completely dysfunctional, that people are going without their needs being met, and it is just a mess, but you're willing to go out there and take care of the community. As a church, we have to make sure that we are taking care of ourselves, and from that, the overflow of that will be how we are able to reach our community. The people in the community will see, wow, these are people who love each other, and they welcome people, new people to come in. This is a place where I want to belong. But if we don't build a community of love, people will not be all that impressed by the food that we give or the message that we share unless they see that we are living it out right here. What do people think of when they think of God? What are the images that come to mind? What do people think of when they think of the church? What are those images? Well, the answer for both of them is supposed to be love. People should think of God, oh yes, God. God is love. The church, oh yes, the church, that's that place where they love each other and they act on love. They don't just feel love, but they actually treat each other with love. Yes, that's the way it's supposed to be. Is that the way it is? Well, God definitely is love, but sometimes the message gets garbled. Sometimes it's for reasons that we have no control over. Sometimes the church has been complicit in it. We have to realize that people have a messed up understanding of who God is, and we have to help them to see the truth. And it can begin by showing them that this is a community of love, that we are brothers and sisters of all one family, and that does not mean we always agree. There's plenty of disagreements. I actually believe that the best way to show love is not for us to always agree, but for the ways that we can work through our disagreements, for people who are on different ends of the spectrum to come together and say, you know what, I disagree with you, but you are my brother or sister in Christ, and I love you, and here's a cup of coffee because I care. That's the way we should be showing our love. We need to do that. We need to teach people the truth that it's all about love. Let us pray. God, you are love. You've always been love. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, together in an eternal relationship of love. You created humanity and entered into a love relationship with us. You created the church, called us to be your children, adopted us into your family. We pray that we would live out that life of love, that we would reflect the love of our Father, that we would have that family resemblance. Help us as the Big C Universal Church and as the local Queen Street Baptist Church to live out this calling, that people would walk by this building and say, that's that place where people love each other. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.